Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I am joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Austin.
I'm not Austin, you're Austin.
Oh, how silly of me.
Oh. But I would be Austin if I could be Austin.
Oh, no, you'd regret that.
How's everything?
Well, my upstairs neighbor is still stomping around up there, and I think they're about to move the furniture so they can vacuum.
Stomping around.
Yep, so if you hear any stomping around, it's not someone trying to kill you, it's my upstairs neighbor.
Why would it be somebody trying to kill us?
Oh, because if you're listening to a podcast and you hear stomp, thump, thump, it's because there's the killer's behind you, and they're going to get
you. The killer.
The killer.
The killer. Be aware of the killer.
Do you really not hear all this happening?
I really don't. It's strange.
Okay.
Well, it's just like when you couldn't hear my neighbors hammering because they like 1,000 pictures that they have to hang up for some reason.
And hammering is not a metaphor.
No. Well, actually, I did hear them hammering, wink, wink, if you get my drift, one time, which was awful, but apartment life. Am I right? Anyway, what else has been going on? Surely there's something interesting happening.
Nope.
Not a single thing?
I'm playing Pokemon Heart Gold.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we need to check in with you about that. I think you and I discussed it off pod, but we had a revelation about your current Heart Gold playthrough. So why don't you tell us about what happened with that?
Why don't you tell me? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. Do you really not remember? Okay. A few weeks back on the pod, we posed a challenge to Austin to do a complete playthrough of Pokemon Heart Gold before February 9th, I think it was. Turns out Austin didn't have a fresh playthrough of Heart Gold. Like, he had already started it and got farther than he thought he did. He thought he only had, like, 3 badges or something.
But I had 7.
He had 7. So you just sort of, like, picked up from that?
Yeah, why not?
So you didn't really, like, do the challenge from A to Z, but whatever.
I went it from, like, X to Z, but okay.
Yeah, basically. So how's that been going?
Well, that actually ties into an email we got from Ben. Ben had a lot of advice for beating Heart Gold. First, Ben wanted to confirm that you were right. There is a Pokemon Center at the base of Mount Silver.
Oh, I remembered right.
Ben is a self-identified Joe Toddler, which I guess means he was a toddler during the Johto era? Is that what that means? Oh. I've never heard like, that before.
I was like, wait, he was a toddler named Joe? Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so he was a youngster during the Johto era. So I'm assuming, maybe incorrectly, but I'm assuming that that was his first game.
Maybe.
Okay.
Apparently, that Pokemon Center at the base of Mount Silver got expanded for Generation 4. So that's going to be very helpful for me when I finally get to Mount Silver to fight Red. Which I'm really concerned about, by the way, because all my Pokemon are like early 50s. And I know Red, his Pikachu's in like the 80s.
The 80s. Okay, so that was the thing that I always remembered from Heart Gold and Soul Silver is that the leveling curve is very difficult. Like, grinding experience and stuff, it's very hard. Like, you don't easily level up, so by the time you get to, like, the Elite Four and Red, like, you're kind of underleveled in most cases. Like, unless you grind out your Pokemon's level.
I was underleveled for the Elite Four, like Lance and all them, and I literally had to rely on the revives and Destiny Bond.
Destiny Bond. Oh, that would kind of be cool, though.
Yeah, Wobbuffet kicked ass.
She. Oh, right. Your Wobbuffet's a girl Wobbuffet because it's got the lipstick on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ben's other advice is to check out the Johto Safari Zone, which I did, and that's where I got the Wobbuffet.
Oh, do you want to tell the listeners about your Meryl misadventures?
Yes, I also tried to get a Meryl to show to Bill's grandfather because he really wanted to see a fucking Meryl to give me a Water Stone. Did you know that in Johto, there's only one place you can find a Meryl in the wild, and it's one floor in Mount Mortar, which I forgot even existed, and it's a 1% chance of finding a Meryl. Alex and I watched Milf Manor while trying to find this fucking Meryl, and we couldn't find one, so I went to the Safari Zone and found one in, like, a minute.
Why would you admit to the people that we had Milf Manor on in the background?
I think we're truly done with it now. I think that itch has been scratched.
Okay, just so you all know, we typically are not in the habit of watching trashy television like that. But it was like kind of a joke that started on New Year's because I don't even remember how, but we, Austin had it put on. Josh walked in. He was like, what the hell are you watching? We decided to see what episode 2 was all about, but it was just as insufferable as the first episode.
No, it was way worse. It was, like, racist.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. Well,
the quote-unquote characters were racist.
Still, bad writing. Anyway, yeah. It was a terrible show, waste of time, do not recommend. Please do not rot your brains out with trashy TV.
Yeah, rot it out with Pokemon. Speaking of which, Ben recommends Pokemon. Murkrow and Larvitar in the Safari Zone, and also Mischievous. Well, sorry, I didn't get any of those guys. I got Swabafet, but I'm more than happy with my Wobbuffet. He also recommends the Pokewalker, which I had a Pokewalker because I bought the game new back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's dead. And do you need to replace a new battery with it?
I'm sure there's a way to do it.
I don't even know where mine. I'm sure I have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
I also have the Pokewalker, but I never used it. I know. Please don't come at me, guys. I never used it. It's in a box somewhere.
Yeah, I think I played around with it, but it was not for my taste. It might be at my parents' house, and I don't care enough to do that.
I am a little upset because back in the day, I didn't have access to, like, reliable internet and such. So I did miss out on a lot of the early events in the early games. Like, I remember, well, when you booted up Heart Gold and we were, like, trying to find the Meryl, I was like, oh, my God, the shiny spiky-eared Pichu.
No, it's a shiny Pichu and a spiky-eared Pichu.
Oh, okay, so you got the shiny Pichu.
Yeah. And the shiny Pichu, you take it to Ilex Forest, and you take it to Celebi Shrine, and the spiky ear Pichu comes through time.
Oh, okay.
To see you.
So I never got those events. I missed out, and I'm kind of sad, but.
What I didn't tell you was I tried to have the spiky ear Pichu be on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out she does not have boosted stats or anything like that. She's just a regular ass Pichu.
What's wrong with that?
How am I supposed to fight the Elite Four with a Pichu?
I guess it's just a novelty.
But regardless, Ben says that he is writing an Imposter Oak fanfiction.
Oh my goodness, I want to read it.
And he asks if we would read it aloud on the podcast. Unfortunately, Ben, one of our Patreon rewards is reading fanfictions on the podcast. No one's taken advantage of that, I will note.
You could be the first. You could be the very first.
If you're listening, you can make us read any bullshit. We'll read it. But sadly, Ben, I don't think it would be fair for us to read your fanfiction aloud on the podcast. Sorry.
I will say, Ben, that's really great. We always encourage you guys to flex your creative writing muscles. We would be certainly glad to read it out loud. We would love to have your support as a Patreon subscriber, so give that some consideration. We would really appreciate it. Of course, no pressure, but if that's something you'd like for us to do, please consider it. Any other news, Austin?
Yes, I have comments from Spotify from Pokemon Megastar.
What does our old friend Pokemon Megastar have to say?
Pokemon Megastar reminded us that Unown are connected to Arceus.
Oh,
and okay. Speculated, does that make Arceus an Ultra Beast if we think Unown are Ultra Beast?
I mean, Arceus does kind of look a little...
Odd. I don't know. Who knows? I think I've concluded mentally that Ultra Beasts are separate from the Unown, Dialga, Palkia, Giratina kind of stuff. I think I've reached that conclusion.
What is your favorite Ultra Beast, Austin?
Oh gosh, I have no idea.
Just for the fun of the conversation.
I would need to see them. Zerkatry is coming to mind.
That's a good one. Do you remember, okay, sorry, I have another, a side note of a side note. Do you remember when Sun and Moon was first coming out and everybody, I love the speculation from the fan base, right, before the games came out? Oh,
I know what you're going to say.
What?
People thought that the characters in Sun and Moon were Ultra Beasts, which would have been so cool.
We all thought that. We thought that, is it Nihiligo? Nihiligo?
Nihiligo.
Nihiligo.
Because nihilism, ego.
Right, okay. That one, like, Lily was that one, and then...
Because she's dressed like one.
Guzma was Zerkatry because he looks like that, and so on and so forth, like...
Lusamine
was... Faramosa.
Yeah.
And obviously other characters may have matched, but we all thought that, like, that was something to that, which... Missed opportunity! Oh my goodness.
I still think she dressed Lily like a Nihiligo on purpose.
Well,
I think
Yeah. That's the implication. I would say, okay, so looking at this, I'm looking at a list of the Ultra Beasts right now. I would say that my favorite aesthetically, I have two answers, actually. Okay. My favorite aesthetically is...
Faramosa.
Hold on. I'm looking through the list. Okay, Pheromosa, I guess, yeah. Pheromosa is my favorite one aesthetically. But, like, my other answer for, like, how ridiculous it is Guzzlord because of the way it screams.
In the Japanese version only.
He screams like a man falling down. It's so funny. I encourage you guys to, like, find that clip if you don't know what I'm talking about. What about you, Austin? What's your favorite?
What was the Michael Jackson thing?
The what?
There was a Michael Jackson Vulture Beast.
Are you talking about Blacephalon?
Yeah, that one.
How is it? He's a clown. How is it Michael Jackson?
It does the...
Is it moonwalk?
What? It moonwalks.
Really? Okay.
In the anime, at least.
I forget that arc, so forgive me, please.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. I'm not a big Vulture Beast fan, to be honest.
Well, nobody said that, but, like, just posing the question of, like, which one's your favorite one?
I guess Buzzwole, maybe?
Buzzwole.
Because it's so ridiculous. It's a buff-ass bug. Like, it's so absurd.
Why? I guess Pheromosa is kind of the beauty to the brawn.
Yeah.
Like, so, they're both bug fighting is what I'm getting at. That's interesting. I don't know. I feel like they could have done more with the Ultra Beasts.
I don't know. If Unknown's connected to all that kind of stuff. I definitely think Unknown was the inspiration for all that kind of stuff. But, like, in a real world. Anyway, yeah. Pokemon Megastar goes on to say that it sucks that the Larvitar arc ends so flatly. I think we can all agree on that.
Hard agree.
They agree that Team Rocket not appearing in every episode later on helps amazingly, especially to develop the other characters in Pokemon, makes them excited for later regions. Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall. Team Rocket being in every episode was never necessary, as far as I'm concerned.
Honestly, these two episodes, Team Rocket appears, but they're such like a footnote that I really, there's not much to even say about them for these couple.
No, there's not. But Pokemon Megastar has another comment. For the GOAT Gary of All Time episode.
Okay.
It's because you and I were talking about Jacob and his absence being felt. And they say that they like the dynamic between the two of us, but won't lie and they miss Jacob on the pod.
Oh.
Sucks that we won't have him back for the last of Johto, but that's okay. You both are fun to have.
Well, I appreciate that.
They say Harrison's okay from what they remember. Blaziken's okay, but they're more of a Swampert line guy.
Okay, Swampert, solid contender.
And Pokemon Megastar also says that they like the setup for Gary's path change and just wish it was set up a little bit better. But Johto's gonna Johto.
All very good points.
Have a great day, Dry and Pan team. That's us, the Dry and Pan team.
Thank you. Team Dry and Pan. We appreciate it. Aw. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Pokemon Megastar, as always, for your comments and engagement. We love it. Keep it coming.
And that's it for feedback and comments.
Anything else interesting, Austin, that we did this week? Because...
Nope.
I do want to... Should I make an embarrassing admission?
Always.
I don't know. It's not really embarrassing. You know what? Actually, no. I take it back. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed for doing something that I enjoy, which is this past week, I was overtaken by the urge to watch an anime.
Okay, let me guess. Inuyasha.
No.
Okay, let me guess.
But that did come up yesterday. Josh was talking about Inuyasha.
Okay.
You're never going to guess. I don't think you've ever heard of this.
Cardcaptor Sakura.
No. It's not like one of the main ones. It's not like the Inuyasha or the Narutos of it all. Like,
oh, okay. So not Revolutionary Girl Utena?
No, because I wanted to save that for you and me to watch together. We've been talking about that for years.
Serial Experiments Lane?
What the fuck is that?
Okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right, I give up.
Serial Experience. No, it's called Ancient Magus Bride.
What the fuck is that?
I know. It's just an anime.
Is this new?
No, it's not new. I don't know. I was overcome by the urge, you guys. You ever just get in that mood when you're just like, anime? I haven't watched an anime in year plus more. I don't know. It's been a long time.
So. I watched Go-Go Loser Ranger.
I have no idea what that is.
It's like Power Rangers, or Super Sentai, rather, but they're evil and... It's like from the perspective of a putty or like one of the little henchmen.
Oh.
It's not as good as it sounds.
Oh, that's
I did too not bad care for it. No.
I thought that might have potential. What was the horrible thing you made me sit through the other day?
What did I make you sit through the other day?
VR Troopers or some crazy
shit. Oh, yeah, VR Troopers. That was garbage.
I'm sorry to any VR Trooper fans out there, but I could not deal with it.
Garbage.
Especially when you compare it to Power Rangers, which we love.
Apparently, the VR Troopers appear in the most recent iteration of the Power Rangers comic book series.
Why?
I don't know.
Waste of time.
Okay.
Space. I'm sorry, guys. It wasn't for me. We're all entitled to our opinions, right? All right. Actually, some opinions are wrong, but when it comes to this is one of those things that you know, everybody has their own opinion on like TV shows and stuff. So anyway, well, that's thrilling, Austin. I'm really glad that you've been taking it easy. Oh,
We are VR.
Is that the theme song?
VR, VR, go. Virtual reality.
Terrible. I'm so sorry. This weekend, we're going to talk about...
This weekend? Yes, you said.
Well, it is the weekend, technically, but you might be listening anytime. The Ties That Bind is the first one, and then Can't Beat the Heat is the second one. Very exciting. We get to know the stunning conclusion to the long-anticipated Ash versus Gary battle.
From all the episodes of Build Up, all the personal stakes and all the very detailed plot lines that have led up to this moment.
Very detailed.
Like, for example, was that time that the Yama was breaking the windows with its wings?
Oh my gosh.
What else happened? There was a Skiploom in a grass Pokemon tournament.
There was the Sunflora people that gave their Sunflora steroids.
There were some Dawn fans that could smell some rocks. I remember that.
There was a extreme Pokemon sports competition.
Ironically, that one actually did lead into Ash versus Gary.
That is true. So, see, we do have some intricate plot lines that are actual continuity.
No, we don't.
What's our order?
Okay, before we start, Alex, who do you think was going to win this?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah, your honest opinion.
Okay, this is coming from me who didn't remember anything. Like, literally, this is a blank space. I don't remember anything about this. I know that Ash probably doesn't win overall. Definitely not. I honestly, truly thought that Gary was going to win.
That's so interesting. We'll
see. We'll talk about it.
Okay, all right. I'm going to flip the coin. Okay, Tails. So you do the 30-second summary for The Ties That Bind.
Okay, guys, just a disclaimer really quick. These are like battle episodes, so we're going to do our best here, but... I can't believe it. I just watched this and I barely remember.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so this is kind of like a flashback episode where Ash and Gary, once upon a time that we've never heard the story before, got into a competition in a river where they fish up a Pokeball. It splits perfectly in half, like kind of like a wishbone. Ash keeps one half, Gary keeps the other one. So he's reminiscing on that. We start our tournament facing off together. Gary with Nidoqueen. Tauros and Heracross are there. Ash is looking like he's not doing very well, but it ends on a cliffhanger with Blastoise coming out on top.
Okay, so Blastoise tops at... No, I don't know what I'm saying.
Whoa.
It's going to be Ash versus Gary for the first round of the bracketed tournament, and Gary appears, and he produces a half of a shrunken Pokeball. He's like, remember this from when we tied...
Okay, can I make an embarrassing admission again?
Yes.
I thought that my memory was so bad that I forgot an episode where this had happened. And so I was like furiously Googling it because I was like, when did they get into a fight? When did this happen? Oh my God, I can't remember. Turns out I just had to be patient.
Turns out it was bad writing all along because we've never heard of this before.
It wasn't my fault.
You know, that time that Ash and Gary had a tie... And Misty and Brock are also like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is going on here?
So this was not an audience issue where you had some form of like amnesia where you're like, oh, I don't remember this at all. It's because this has never come up before and they literally just talk about it for the first time right now.
Well, we have to go back to our suite where all the lights are off. And Ash is digging through his backpack. He throws aside the fishing line and the pink gloves from episode 1.
Love that.
To find his half of the Pokeball, the shrunken Pokeball. And he's like, I have to tell you a long, boring story now. And the story allegedly takes place right when Ash and Gary were starting their journeys. Except we know that's not true. There was no time for this to have happened. This clearly was pre-episode 1, because Pikachu was not there.
That was my question. So... I can't remember their exact dialogue. Did they say anything, like, dialogue-wise that would imply that they already visited Professor Oak?
there was like a lot of like, I'm starting my journey kind of talk. But like, this must have been like the day before episode one or something.
This had to have been, because Pikachu wouldn't have been in the ball. Like, Ash would have been dealing with that and, like, blowing up Pokemon centers and stuff.
There was no time for that. We had Spearows and Pidgey doing a sand attack and Rattata stealing food from stupid trainers.
Yeah, I want to... can we say safely that this was the day before?
Yeah, this is not episode one.
Okay.
Anyway, Ash is at his secret fishing spot for all that fishing he does. And he's wearing a silly hat. And Gary shows up and he's like, joke's on you, Ashy boy. This is my secret fishing spot. Everyone knows this is the best spot to go fishing to play with water Pokemon. We get a pretty good read on season one Ash because he does not know what kind of attacks Magikarp can use after Magikarp slaps him in the fucking face.
Maybe I'm misremembering it, but was there an early episode when he meets Misty where he's fishing?
No, Misty was fishing.
Misty was, okay, never mind.
That's how he first met her.
That's right. Okay,
I misremembered. She fished him out of the water.
Okay.
Apparently, everyone comes around here to Pallet Town to go fishing.
Yeah, like, my thought of, like, the early episodes, I was like, yeah, there was a lot more emphasis on them, like, leisurely fishing for Pokemon.
I feel like, in, like, the movie end credits, you see, like, Misty fishing and shit.
Yeah.
I think she taught them how to fish in the Safari Zone episode.
Well, Ash apparently was fishing long before that,
well, apparently so.
Whatever.
So Ash and Gary, their poles cross, their rods get entangled, because both of their fishing lures somehow get wrapped around an ancient old moldy Pokeball.
They touch rods?
Yeah, they're old rods. And they fish it out, and because they're stupid, they're like, it's mine. No, it's mine. So they start tug-of-warring for the Pokeball, garbage, trash.
They start pulling on each other's rods?
Yes, they do. And then they have to run in the same direction to run to a bridge where they can fight for it. Kind of like the baby in the Bible, they cut it in half, and...
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, forget it.
Okay.
They don't actually cut the baby in half in the Bible.
Okay.
It was threatened to be cut in half. And the Pokeball, the hinge apparently is old and rusted, and so it breaks down the middle, and Gary takes one half, and Ash takes the other, and Gary's like, this isn't a tie. A tie to you is like a loss, and like storms off.
That was harsh.
Yeah, and then Ash files away the memory, never to be remembered until this exact moment.
Did anybody else want to know the story behind this Pokeball?
I absolutely did want to know the story behind the Pokeball.
Like, I feel like there's something like... mystical about it, or like
mystical, or more likely it's trash that fell out of someone's pocket and rolled into the river.
But maybe there's like a story, like maybe it's like from a trainer who got lost in the wilderness and like died
and their body is at the bottom of that riverbed, and yes, the Pokeball's floating up.
Maybe mystical was the wrong word, maybe more like sinister, in like a tragic kind of way. Anyway,
did you notice the Pokeball mechanics moment,
which was
the Pokeball was at full size? Then they cut it in half, or they yank it in half, and as the two halves bounce toward its respective boys, the halves of the ball shrink.
Oh, I missed that.
After it's been cut in half.
I missed that entirely.
Because it was full size. So that adds a lot of questions. How does the shrinking mechanism work? I don't know.
Well, it was obviously faulty because it was in the river for God knows how long. But I'm sorry, I was slacking on my duties as the Pokeball mechanic self-proclaimed expert, so my apologies.
Cut back to the present day. Something, 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 Gary, Ash. Oh, there's a brief continuity error when Ash is holding the complete red and white Pokeball.
Yeah, I noticed that. He has the white lower half of the ball, but it briefly reverts to the entire red and white sphere. So that's...
Whoops.
Whoopsie doodle.
Well, it doesn't matter. Ash has the entire next day to prepare for his battle with Gary because it's the break day. Do the Olympics have break days?
That I don't know. Honestly, I don't really follow the Olympics.
No, I don't either. I don't understand the appeal, to be honest.
The only good thing about the Olympics is the Winter Olympics when they do the curling. That's my favorite.
Okay. Well, all I could think of is, wow, it must be really boring for the people who came to Silvertown for the Pokemon conference, and there's like a day where like there's nothing going on.
Maybe they can watch the people train.
Maybe.
The contenders.
Well, Team Rocket's all upset. They're like, ugh, no one's going to buy any of our merchandise tomorrow because there's no battling. And I was thinking, but people have nothing to do but go around and buy crap they don't need. I think it's the perfect day for sales.
think about this. Like, I don't necessarily think it's like a boring day for the people that came. Like, imagine you're a tourist, which most of these people are because they're not from here. They have time to actually enjoy the surroundings or like do an activity or have lunch or go shopping or like whatever. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Like in the Canto League, we saw like parades and shit. There was like stuff going on in the town.
Maybe there was events. Yeah, maybe we just didn't see that.
They didn't have time to devote to that. Meanwhile, Team Rocket's James is making all these badges and crap. Who cares? I don't. But back at the suite, Brock has rented out the entire fucking library to read through books. I'm sure all these books will be read by Brock, and Brock will have lots of great advice for Ash, which will go unheard.
Ash didn't even read the books for one thing, and also I thought that was really selfish of Brock because there's other trainers there who may want to like read some of these books. Yep. So shame on Nurse Joy for letting him not have like a 5-book limit or something.
There was at least like 200 books.
There was hundreds of books.
Yeah.
Piled up. Like hundreds of books.
All hardcover. Like it was a lot.
Ridiculous.
And like, what is he even going to say? Like, this is what Frame Dance does.
If Ash doesn't know the fundamentals by now, there's no way he's retaining any of this in a day.
And he doesn't care about the books because he has learned what a computer is.
Oh my goodness.
Of course, we have a lot of talk about how Ash doesn't know how to use a computer. But he has pulled an all-nighter looking at pictures of Gary.
As one does.
And somehow, he pulls up too many windows or something because it's 2002 and causes the computer to crash, which causes a montage of Gary smile faces to appear on the screen in all directions.
Okay, I have so many questions about this. Okay, first of all, I loved the the throwback to early 2000s computers, like getting a virus with like all those pop-ups that like crash your computer.
Alex, not a throwback. It is the early 2000s.
Well, now, I guess. Yeah, well, okay. Watching it now. Sorry, guys. My time perception was off. You know, like the fun, crazy, like blinking pop-ups that
right.
crash your computer. I was thinking that this was a virus that Gary himself put on the computer because all of the pop-ups were Gary's face.
Gary spare time is a computer hacker.
It started out like a bomb. Like a bomb showed up on screen. It explodes into like a rain of Gary faces.
I will
and crashes say, the computer.
From watching Sex and the City, there's an episode where that exact same thing happens to Carrie, where the bomb appears on her MacBook.
Really?
And it shuts it down. And then she goes to like, you know, Best Buy or whatever, or Circuit City, because it's the early 2000s. And she's like, there was a bomb on my computer.
Was that like a thing? Was that a well-known virus back in the day?
Maybe.
Because why would that appear? That's interesting. It appeared twice.
I never had a Mac. We were a PC house, so.
Do you remember those commercials? I'm a Mac. I'm a PC.
I hated those commercials. They were so obnoxious.
I always had Windows, too. I've never owned a MacBook. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. All I know is Windows. Well,
they say once you learn it, it makes perfect sense.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure it's like anything. You learn it. It's kind of like a phone. Like, I've always had an Apple phone, ironically, and I don't know how to work your phone. That's an Android, So I'm assuming it's the same concept.
Anyway, after Ash's karate chopping the monitor doesn't work to fix the virus, or whatever it is, they go out into the yard and sit at a table. Oh, they're all confused, because Gary doesn't use just one type. He uses all kinds of different types, so how could they possibly handle such a thing?
You know, this was honestly a really interesting conversation, I thought. I guess it really just drives home the point that trainers like Ash and Gary are unique, even among the career trainers, I guess you could call them, because most of them only do, and we've seen this in like all the trainers we've kind of come across recently, where they're monotype.
The Elite Four are monotypes.
Yeah, monotype. Oh, that's such a good point. Most of the training, I guess, methodology that people employ are to do monotypes with maybe like one or two supplemental types to cover, you know, any potential weaknesses. But like having a multitude of types is kind of unique. So that's interesting.
Now that we're all confused over what we're going to do when Gary uses all different kinds of types, Ash is like, what kind of Pokemon should I use? Enter Charizard. Charizard flies in from the sky, sets Ash on fire.
Of course.
And Brock is like, yeah, last night I called Liza from the Charific Valley and had her send over Charizard without telling anyone. Surprise!
On the one hand, thanks, Brock. That's really great. But on the other hand, Ash, what the fuck? Like, why can't he do these things himself? Like, what was he going to do if Brock didn't call Liza?
Probably
use... What was his plan?
Another Pokemon.
Like, what?
Squirtle.
Oh my god.
Yeah, is Squirtle still here? Who knows?
Yeah,
presumably he is. Yeah.
We didn't get like a scene with Jenny and Squirtle saying bye or anything, so
no.
I don't know.
Guess who else is here? Surprise! Professor Oak is here.
With
Delia!
Ah!
Oak approaches Ash and approaches Gary and gives him a haiku, and Delia's here as well. Because, you know, she's not going to be missing the finals. Of course not. She has to be here in person.
Sorry, Austin. I feel like I was so excited to be like, oh, look, it's Oak and Delia together that I ruined your, like, lead-in with Delia showing
up. It's fine.
Sorry. Well, aren't you going to talk about that? That they're always together?
What is there even to say at this point? They're always together.
Because it's so cute. I don't know.
We don't even comment on it anymore. It's just expected.
It is.
Delia has some words of encouragement for Ash, and then he runs off. Oh, interesting note that Oak updates Gary's and Ash's Pokédexes.
I'm assuming he upgraded them to Hoenn.
I guess. But Ash is going to get a new Pokédex in a few episodes anyway, so I don't know what the point of this was.
Oh, right. He does get a new... Yeah, well, so what was the point of this then?
I guess he's going to use it to identify Kecleon and Blaziken, because the last episode he couldn't identify Blaziken on the Pokédex.
I guess, but we've seen Kecleon before, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the real point of this was so Gary could stare intensely at the Pokédex and then walk off.
Yeah, what was up with that?
He's got some thoughts.
Gary's having some personal growth moments.
Off screen. Yeah. Funny how that works. Anyway, all right. Some Team Rocket bullshit. Cut to the next day. It's time for the battle. And there are some cameos in the crowd. Macy's here. Jackson is still here with the wrong name. Professor Goodshow is still here.
I'm surprised Professor Goodshow didn't get any, like, dialogue lines or anything. Whatever.
And before Ash is able to go onto the field, we have to check in on Harrison, who wins a battle with his newly acquired Sneasel. And Harrison goes to the locker room to find Ash, basically so we remember that Harrison still exists. Don't worry, guys. We didn't forget about him. He's not a satchel.
He didn't fall into a volcano and die.
No, he did not. But now that Harrison's out of the way, we cut to the main event, and Ash goes out into the field, and Misty and Brock have their own, like, area to sit in on the field, basically right behind him.
Sure.
And then all the stops are out. Psyduck is out, Politoed is out, Pikachu and Togepi have little flags they're waving, and Ash is not the only one with a cheering section.
Oh my god.
Some familiar characters are here.
I was shocked. Legitimately shocked. You know, Josh, he was watching the episodes with me this morning, and he was like, what the hell? Like, when the cheerleaders came, he's like, what the hell is happening? I was like, don't ask, it's too long of a story.
It's really not that long of a story. Gary's father, the mayor of Pallet Town, has rehired the adult women cheerleaders to support Gary after a long absence.
Wait, he's the mayor of Pallet Town?
I think I'm making shit up at this point.
Oh, can we? Oh my gosh. Can we, like, headcanon that he's the mayor of Pallet Town?
No, I think it was from the novel.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
Okay.
It was something like that.
I mean, Gary, I was actually really surprised to see the cheerleaders considering Gary's arc and his growth. Like, he's not about that anymore. He's not driving off in a sports car at 12 years old with a bunch of grown women in the backseat.
Like, that's too bad, because that was fucking fun.
That was insane and unhinged, but, like, he doesn't even acknowledge them. So I'm like, I think they're doing this independent of him. Like, he didn't ask them to be there.
I wish the convertible had made a comeback, but sadly not.
Sadly.
Battle time. First the announcer has to have a whole, like, spiel of who Ash and Gary are. And the camera cuts to Professor Oak in the crowd. And he's like, don't put the camera on. Even though he's, like, a fucking celebrity. So, whatever. Delia, meanwhile, is making the most of this. And she's doing a peace sign toward the camera.
I love Delia. She's so great.
Oh, did you notice Delia's hot pink digital camera, like, straight out of 2002?
She has obviously come into the 21st century, and she's got a digital camera.
It was, like, a realistic one. That was what really threw me.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what would the brand at the time be? Like, Canon or something?
Yeah, something like that. She has a new toy, and she's, like, ready to use it.
It's not one of the old style, like, click and then you roll the film forward, like, no. It's a fancy new digital one. I'm assuming Oak got that for her for, like, an anniversary gift or something. I don't know.
It's not even a year.
I mean, maybe they have, like, monthly anniversaries. It's so cute.
Maybe it's her birthday and Ash didn't call her. Who knows?
Maybe that's Oak's birthday gift to her. Who knows?
But the battle begins with Nidoqueen versus Tauros. They're on the rocky field. So my first thought was like, oh, perfect. Ash always uses the rocky field to his advantage. He always like hides behind the rocks or jumps off the rocks or makes the rocks into smaller rocks. But plot twist, Gary's the one taking advantage of the rock field this time because Nidoqueen punches the ground and all these stones fly out everywhere and they hit Tauros. And Tauros is not happy with this. So Ash has Tauros do a straight charge toward Nidoqueen to like just impale her right in the boob. And
oh my god. This was such a stupid move, Ash. You don't rush straight towards the enemy.
He was like, let's just get this done quick. I didn't think it was that dumb.
I think it is dumb. Straightforward? He didn't use Tauros to jump off the rocks like you were saying?
No, he didn't do anything. He was like, Tauros, just go full speed, charge at it. That's what you do. But that doesn't work out because Nidoqueen grabs Tauros by the horns, hyper beams him in the face, and he is out.
This was rough. Like, Nidoqueen slams Tauros through, like, three boulders until it, like, hits the back wall or whatever.
There's going to be a lot of really quick KOs in this battle.
This is interesting.
So, Gary calls back Nidoqueen and sends out Magmar, because Ash chose Heracross.
Boober, shout out.
Heracross versus Magmar. Heracross avoids a flamethrower, and he does a Fury Swipes on Magmar, and somehow Fury Swipes launches Magmar a mile up into the air.
This is very weird, but okay.
Did he call it the wrong move or something? That was odd.
I didn't know Heracross knew Fury Swipes.
Did they use the wrong move? Did they say the wrong thing? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, Magmar is airborne, and Gary does this like, wild, crazy thing where Magmar uses Fire Blast. And you know, it makes like the star, the 5-point star thing that Fire Blast does. Yeah. And then Magmar jumps into the Fire Blast, becomes a flaming inferno Magmar, comes down to the ground, pins Heracross to a rock. They're both enveloped in flames. And then Magmar flamethrowers Heracross in the face.
Ash frustrated me so much in this moment. Well, the Tauros thing really was pathetic. And then this particular move, I mean, he's literally standing there. He had fucking 5 to 7 business days to have Heracross do something, and he just stands there. Here comes Magmar, like a flaming meteorite, to the ground, and he's just like, huh, that's interesting. I'm like, do you want to, like, have Heracross move, or, like, anything? Anything.
And Heracross can fly.
I know! Maddening.
Ridiculous. Maybe it happened faster than what we saw, because it seemed like he had plenty of time to move, but he didn't.
Again, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, literally, Ash, like, what the hell? You could have, like, gone and ate a whole breakfast and come back before Magmar could have, like, hit the ground, but...
Anyway, I'm calling BS on this, because Heracross should be down from this, but somehow... Yeah, Heracross should not be surviving a close-range flamethrower. Yeah.
Fire move? No way.
But regardless, Heracross is the fucking best... And he is able to use his wings to dissipate the, like, flames that he's enveloped in somehow.
Because that is how that works.
And then he just uses a Megahorn on Magmar. The Megahorn cuts through another flamethrower, hits Magmar, one hit KO. Okay.
Did you catch what the announcer said? I think this was a mistake. When Heracross was using Megahorn, I think maybe they meant to say the strongest bug-type move. But he says something like the most powerful Pokemon move.
Oh, I missed that.
That's not true. Well, I mean, I guess what is the most powerful Pokemon?
It'd probably be Hyper Beam at this point.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. But yeah, bug type for sure, but not entirely like Pokemon.
Well, if we know anything about the 4Kids script, is that they're not very good with like the minutiae of Pokemon battling mechanics and types and such.
No.
Which I don't expect them to be, but surely they're just like, they should just have the script translation in front of them, so I'm not sure how they're messing it up. But whatever. Anyway.
Close enough.
Anyway. Plus, it's the announcer, so the announcer can say anything and not have to worry about lip flaps. But anyway.
Shouldn't that make it, like, less hard to mess up? But whatever.
Anyway. What's done is done. And now, Gary sent out his next Pokemon, now that Magmar's down, and it's a Blastoise.
Ooh, his ace in the hole.
Even though he's kicking ass, he doesn't need to use his ace in the hole.
I know. It's kind of surprising that he... called out in the middle of the match.
You'd think there'd be a reveal near the end. But regardless, Blastoise is here, and this is when we finally learn, oh my god, Gary chose Squirtle.
Did we not know that before?
We did not know that before. Brock knew that before.
Wait, what?
Brock knew this already. because Gary fought and beat Brock before Brock ever met Ash.
Oh, because of, oh my god, and this is where we always forget Brock is actually a gym leader, so.
Yep.
Wait, so are you legitimately, did I not know, do we not know that, like, his starter Pokemon, he's never used Squirtle before? Or
never once.
Wow, oh my gosh, okay.
Okay, I can see you're paying attention to the Gary episodes.
I'm sorry, y'all. Like, I guess I just, it's one of those things that you've gone so long, like, you just know it inherently. Like, we all know, like, Gary has Blastoise or whatever. I guess I just never realized, like, this was the time where it was revealed.
That's why the episode ends on that reveal.
We never knew that before. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Which I think is funny because Ash picked Squirtle.
That was his original
right.
choice.
But Gary picked Squirtle before he did. Haha.
Because he was late, because he was up all night stewing about the Pokeball in the river the night
before. Oh, is that what? Is that the backstory for why he was up all night?
I mean, why else was he, like, sleeping in and threw his Pidgey clock against the wall? I mean, maybe he was just hyped up from that encounter. I don't know.
And then he meets Gary for the first time ever that morning.
Even though they've had this whole friendship, like, ahead of time.
Oh, continuity is not Pokemon's strong suit.
That's ridiculous.
The episode's over now.
How can they grow up in the same town, know each other,
and then not know
each
other?
And then not know each other. Episode?
But okay, have, like, whatever. A deep-seated hatred for each other that...
They clearly have been friends since small childhood. Like, you can't convince me otherwise.
Plus, their, like, parents are dating.
Well, at this point, maybe not.
Anyway. All right, MVP, LVP, end quote. Let's flip the Dragonite coin.
All right.
Heads, I'm first.
Go for it.
Okay, my quote was a good one. And I want to see if you notice this. When we're setting up for the battle... A random man in the crowd says,
oh my gosh,
go Gary, I went to school with Gary, you know.
How can we never talk about that, like, in the episode itself?
Because I was saving it for this section.
That gave me, okay, sorry guys, this has been an in joke for a long time, and I think it's in Hoenn. Is it Hoenn that happens? Or it's in, oh, it's in Sinnoh. Okay, so this is, like, way in the future from now, but there's an in-joke between Austin and I where Dawn is, like, having a contest or something, and they're in a town called Chalkavine Town or something, and some rando guy in the crowd is like, yeah, Chalkavine! It gave me major, yeah, Chalkavine guy.
It was the same guy who's in the crowd, the adult man, claiming that he went to school with Gary, you know.
I'm assuming since Gary is, like, 12 and he's not in school... 10. He's taller than Ash.
He's 10.
I hope you know that, though.
Okay, sure. Well, Gary's hair goes up to the heavens.
No, well, aside from the hair, when they had, like, the face-to-face shot, like, when they're at the lake later on, Gary is taller than Ash.
Okay, sure, but he's still 10 because they got their Pokemon the same fucking day.
Okay, whatever. Maybe he means, like, little kid kindergarten school? I don't know.
That was clearly an adult man's voice, but okay. Well, plus, if he went to school with Gary, he would go to school with Ash, too.
That's, well, what do you think? People just, like, lie, Austin? How dare some guy just lie?
You think people go into the Pokemon League in Johto and tell lies?
Go into the stands of the Pokemon League and lie? Yeah, exactly.
There's a whole backstory with this random person in the crowd telling about how he knows Gary so well.
Is this guy responsible for the rusty Pokeball in the water in the river?
No, this guy, I don't trust this guy for shit. And that's why he gets my LVP. Just kidding. My LVP is going to be Tauros. For a poor showing.
That's not Tauros's fault.
Regardless.
I have to defend.
Regardless. That Hyper Beam took him down easy.
Oh my god. Can we talk about how Oak... We did not mention how Oak was in the crowd every time Ash's Pokemon did something good. And Oak was like, that's because Tauros spent all the time running around in my garden. That's because Heracross spent all the time running around sucking sap out of my trees. Like,
sucking sap out of my trees.
He didn't say Bulbasaur, which was interesting. But...
out of Bulbasaur's trees.
Ew.
No, poor LVP Tauros. To Tauros. Sorry, Tauros. You know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to. And for that same reason, my MVP is going to be Heracross for his unrealistic withstanding of fire-type moves that he did, and for knowing the most powerful Pokemon move of all, Mega Horn.
You know what this gave me? This gave me Swellow and, like, the anti-electric special.
We're not there yet, but whatever. We will be there soon. Very soon.
Very soon. Sooner than you might think, guys. Okay, that's great, Austin. I don't necessarily agree with your LVP, but that's not my choice to make. So
no, it is not.
My quote is going to be...
There was a good one.
What do you want to throw it in? Because I don't know if I have
that. Do you really not have one?
Just, I want to see what you said. Oh, that's the one I was going to do.
Oh, good, good.
Perfect. Actually, so this is a really good one. I'm going to do this one. You did kind of say the quote I originally was going to do because I thought it was so harsh, but you talked about it. It's when Gary was like, a draw, like when he was talking about it being a draw or a tie, and he's like, a draw, absolutely not. And Ash is like, why not? Gary said, tying with you is just as bad as losing. And I was like, damn, Gary. Savage. Okay, but that's not my quote. My quote is, when Magikarp slaps the shit out of Ash, jumps back in the water, Gary runs up and disappears, and he's like, well, wow, pretty quick recovery there, Ash. And Ash says, what are you doing here anyway? Gary says, fishing. Ash says, tell me something I don't know. Gary says, ah, I see. Are you looking for something a little more philosophical? Ash, not knowing what the word philosophical is. Philosophical? What is that? Some kind of new Pokemon?
I think I reference this exact quote all the time.
When?
All the time, when Ash doesn't understand a vocab word.
Is that some kind of newfangled Pokemon?
Yep.
So that was cute. I don't know. I don't have to think about this. Who deserves it? Who deserves it? I don't know, Austin. I'm really struggling. My LVP is going to be Ash, I guess.
Surprise, 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 surprise.
Sorry, he's my go-to when I can't think of anything.
I know.
I mean, I feel like he could have done a lot more during the battle. Like, he was literally standing there. He lets Tauros take a direct hyper beam to the face. Heracross just stands there as it takes two direct fire type moves. He's not calling out any sort of defensive strategy, nothing. I'm like, Ash, what are you doing? Did you forget you're in a battle?
I thought you were going to pick Brock for checking out all the library books.
Oh. You know what? Actually, can I change my LVP?
To Nurse Joy?
I'm going to change it to Nurse Joy.
Yeah. It didn't actually, even appear in the episode and she still gets LVP.
She gets LVP because she allowed Brock to check out like 300 library books on the day before a major battle. No regard for anybody else. Yeah, I just think that's bad stewardship of the Pokemon library materials. So.
And then clearly they didn't even use the books.
They did not use the books. So I think that's rude. Brock gets honorary LVP for being part of that ridiculous plot.
Okay, I don't mean to take your Ash LVP from you, but you said it was your backup, so.
What, my backup LVP?
I made the suggestion to Nurse Joy.
No, I think you're right. I think she deserves it better. Ash gets a pass this time.
Okay, just this time.
Just this time. My MVP is going to be, I don't know, Delia. Professor Oak and Delia. I just like them. Oh, both of them.
Okay.
I thought they were super cute. I don't know. Like, they go there to support their son and stepson, Ash. And I guess Oak is there for Gary, too, I guess. I don't know. Ash and, Oak and Delia sitting there in the stands, cute as a button. Delia with her little digital camera, very excited about her new technology. So, just love them together.
What's the second episode called? Can't Beat the Heat?
Can't Beat the Heat. All right, Austin, are you ready to summarize in 3, 2, 1, go?
All right, it's battle time for real this time. There's a lot of battling. I'm sure we'll get into it more, but the main event is basically that it comes down to Charizard versus Blastoise. Oh my goodness. And Charizard sweeps Gary's team, essentially, and ends up defeating Blastoise. And so Ash is the big winner, and Gary is like, about it. And then he calls Ash to hang out with him, and Ash the Pokeball. Okay, goddamn it. I couldn't remember.
All right, so this episode is a direct continuity from the last one. Still in the thick of battle. I guess you can consider it to be battling for real. I mean, we've kind of gotten half of the battle done already, right? I mean, it's just more of the same thing.
Ash is down by 2. Gary has not had a single knockout.
Okay, so Gary's doing, like, way better. And obviously, my memory, again, was faulty because I thought for sure Gary was the obvious winner.
Okay. We're going to analyze that. Why do you think Gary was the obvious winner?
Because he's more prepared. He's got a better team, a stronger, more well-rounded team.
You thought Gary was going to definitively beat Ash. Ash was never going to beat Gary, ever. No. And then Gary was going to be like, fuck this. I'm done being a Pokemon trainer. Goodbye.
Maybe he was like, I've proved to myself that I've done all the things I can do as a trainer. And that would be his, like, impetus for kind of leaving that path behind, which would inspire Ash to then just become ever stronger because that's what
Gary's always ahead of him.
Gary's always ahead of him, even when Gary's heart isn't truly in it. Like, Gary would just be the more talented inherently. But no, I was wrong. I spoiler alert, I did not remember correctly. Okay, so Gary is doing way better in the first half of this. We pick right up where we left off with Blastoise's Hydro Pump shearing straight through a giant boulder and knocking the shit out of Heracross. Goodbye, Heracross. You did a good job, I guess. Ash's next pick is Muk, because it's very obvious that Ash's Johto team is ineffectual and horrible, so he has to go back to his old Kanto Pokemon.
Yep.
That he hasn't even trained, by the way, because, like, Oak is up there in the crowd screaming about how he is the one to thank for the fact that they're very strong because they spend all their time hanging out with Oak on the ranch. So Muk is the third Pokemon. The announcer doesn't seem to have a whole lot of confidence in Muk, which I thought was very rude. He's like, what's Muk gonna do? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
That's because the announcer is secretly Tracy, and Tracy has seen Muk around the lab for long enough.
Ash has Muk completely envelop Blastoise, which I thought was kind of a good strategy at first, but Blastoise easily gets him off of it with a Hydro Pump, just sort of fills him up like a water balloon, I guess, and launches
poor Muk.
Him. Poor Muk. I know, this is horrible. Ash is smart enough, though, in this moment to recall Muk and decides to call out Bayleaf in its place, which...
That was a mistake.
Mistake. Yeah, not good. I mean, Blastoise is Gary's strongest, most highly trained, fully evolved Pokemon. Bayleaf didn't ever stand a chance. And we see this in action when it's completely knocked out in like 0.3 seconds by getting thrown against a wall before. I don't think it got a single hit in.
No, because Rapid Spin deflects Razor Leaf.
Yeah, that was a waste of a slot. I don't know why he even thought Bayleaf could do anything up against Gary. I guess I just kind of want to go back to the previous episode when Ash was looking on the computer. We did see some Pokemon on Gary's team that he didn't use.
Right, right, right. There was like a Skarmory.
Yeah, Kingdra, Skarmory. Was there another one or was that it?
I think Umbreon was on the screen, but he didn't use Umbreon.
Oh, Umbreon. Yeah, Umbreon. That was it. So now that Ash is down three Pokemon, we take a quick 5-minute break to regroup. Ash goes over into the little box where Misty and Brock and Pikachu are waiting. This is cute. Pikachu is upset because he's like, I want to tap into the match. Let me do this. I can go up against Blastoise. But Ash is like, I'm sorry, little buddy. I can't use you because I didn't register you beforehand. Why do you think he didn't pick Pikachu?
Brock kind of tells us soon. Ash, very clearly, his thought process was big and strong. All the Pokemon he chose were the big, heavy hitters. He's going for a pure, all-out assault approach. And okay. Bayleaf is kind of the exception to that. But Bayleaf still does body slam and stuff. So I think in Ash's mind, Bayleaf is a big heavy hitter. I would have picked Kingler, but I guess Kingler's still in the hospital from that Voltorb incident.
I guess. Critical damage. Poor Kingler.
Oh, man.
Okay, so aside from the ones that we do see him use, does he have any other viable options when it comes to, like, pure brawn?
I think he used all of them.
Or this is it. Yeah, this is it.
Because all the others were like Cyndaquil and Totodile. So he was going for the big boys.
I mean, Pikachu is his like ace, though. I think he should have had at least one speed, agility sort of coded Pokemon. But
well, that's exactly what we're about to say, is Ash did not have any speedy Pokemon in this lineup.
Okay.
And that was a mistake. It was a mistake. Right. He should not have done that. He should have thought more about balance and not about like emphasizing weight.
Okay. So as we continue on, so poor Ash, poor Pikachu, can't use him in the battle, unfortunately. So after the break, Ash comes back, regroups, and picks an old favorite. Snorlax is here, y'all. Snorlax is here. But Gary's like, not today. And so he swaps out for Arcanine. But this goes very smoothly for Ash because we finally see Ash do something. And he gets a Hyper Beam pretty immediately on Arcanine and KOs Arcanine. So
these Hyper Beams are sweeping this match.
I know. So Nidoqueen is back on stage, and to Ash's surprise, which shouldn't really be a surprise, but Gary pays attention and starts emulating Ash's own strategy of having his Pokemon sort of launch themselves up into the air. So Nidoqueen is jumping towards Snorlax, but fortunately, Snorlax manages to knock out Nidoqueen with a well-timed ice punch.
Nice.
Because he's the best. I know. It was pretty awesome.
God, Snorlax really is the heavy hitter of this. Snorlax has to carry the weight of Ash on his shoulder.
I know, that's two knockouts in a row. Like, that's right. Pretty amazing. What would he do without Snorlax? I think Snorlax has come through for Ash, like, a ton.
Well, Snorlax was always his, like, most powerful Pokemon. Snorlax always kicked ass.
I know, it's the best. Oh my gosh, I love Snorlax. Every time we see it do stuff like this, I'm like, this just affirms my, like, love of Snorlax and the fact that it's the greatest. Sadly, though, we don't get to see very much more of Snorlax because Scizor is on the scene. And Snorlax is pretty tired at this point. It's taken out two Pokemon. And Scizor is the speedster on Gary's team. Not just a heavy hitter, it's the agile one that's covering the gaps in his coverage. Snorlax is easily taken out.
I think this is when Brock makes his comments about, like, Ash is not covering all his bases.
Yeah, this was it. This is where we hear him say, okay, like you mentioned, the strategy was all-out offensive rather than balanced coverage. So Muk is back in the game, which I thought this was a really good strategy up against Scizor because Muk is, like, a goopy blob, so it can kind of take the punches and not really get hurt by that. I thought that Muk had this in the bag, but unfortunately, Ash just stands there and lets Muk get knocked out. So I was like, why are you... Poor Muk didn't do anything. I don't think he took out any of Gary's Pokemon.
Well, I think Scizor is a steel type, and isn't poison not very effective against steel?
That is true. Well, yeah. Is it... Wait, okay, remind me at this stage, is steel completely immune? Because it is now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you can't poison a steel type.
Oh, I just meant, like, Sludge Bomb would not be very effective. Because isn't that Muk's only, like, offensive attack? Is that in, like...
What is his... Yeah, that's my question. What is Muk's moves at this point?
Oh, no, I take it back. Yeah, steel is completely immune to poison type moves. So Sludge Bomb would do nothing whatsoever.
Does he know any other moves?
Let's find out what Muk's moveset is, thanks to our best source ever.
Bulbapedia.
Oh, shit, really? Muk only knows two moves, Body Slam and Sludge Bomb.
That's it?
That's it.
Are you kidding me?
Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Wait, does it ever learn anything else?
That's what it says.
Wow.
Shit.
That's...
So Muk was fucked. Fuck a Muk.
That's shocking, guys. Wow, shocking. Okay, so no wonder Muk was completely useless against Scizor.
It literally couldn't do anything.
I'm flabbergasted. Okay, so poor Muk. Muk is out. So we've got Charizard as the last Pokemon standing on Ash's side.
He shouldn't have sent out Muk in the first place. He should have sent out Charizard immediately.
Well, not against Blastoise, but against Scizor. Yeah. It's looking pretty grim. Gary still has, at this stage, Blastoise, who has pretty decent health, I think, you know, remaining. And then his last Pokemon, which hasn't been called out at all, so it's at full health, is Golem. Charizard's weak to both of those in a major way. I think, okay, so Charizard takes out Scizor easily, but Gary calls out Golem, which weighs like 500 tons. I mean, it's insane. I think, what did Professor Oak say? Like, it's the second Pokemon only to Snorlax in weight.
Yep.
Poor Charizard. Ash tries to have it use Seismic Toss, but Charizard cannot lift Golem and actually struggles. I thought Charizard was really going to hurt itself doing this. Oh, like, break its arm or something. Throw out a back disc. Yeah.
Can you imagine if Charizard broke an arm?
Could you imagine if it, like, herniated a disc and, like, fell to the ground? I don't know.
Remember in Electric Tail when it, like, drew blood from the neck of Richie's Charizard?
Oh, God. Is that the same manga where Arbok gets sliced in half?
That's Adventures. That's unrelated.
Okay. So, Charizard is not doing so great, but Ash has a really great strategy, and this is pure Ash. Like, this is the Ash we know and love. When things get tough, you gotta survey that battlefield and see how you could use your environment to your advantage.
Ash has been doing a shit job this entire time.
You know, I've been thinking that, like, throughout the course of this battle. I'm like, this is against Gary, his one true rival. Like, this is your opportunity, Ash, to showcase absolutely everything you've ever done up to this point. Like, you've learned over the course of your adventures and, like, all your gym battles and all the hard times that you've gone through. And he's just kind of standing there.
I wish this was textual. I wish the idea was Ash was in his own head And he was so focused on, Gary has big, strong Pokemon. I need to use big, strong Pokemon and meet him where he's at. Mm-hmm. And then realizing this is not working. I need to do what I do best, which is think outside the box.
That would have been much more poignant.
Which we can kind of read into it and assume that's what's happening. But it's not actually happening, you know?
They sadly don't convey that very well.
Right.
Like, I think throughout the course of this battle, I wish... Honestly, I would have been... Maybe you feel differently, but tell me what you think. I kind of wish they would have drawn this out maybe into, like, 3 episodes rather than 2.
Absolutely.
Because I think that they could have spent a lot more time kind of having that sort of strategy, the personal failings of, like, trying, like you just mentioned, trying to meet Gary head-to-head and kind of emulate him in that sort of fashion. But then again, like you said, realizing that his strengths lie elsewhere. And then kind of having these moments of maybe flashback moments where he's calling on these old lessons that he's learned and really making it feel like this is the ultimate showdown between these two rivals that finally have crossed paths. But we didn't really get that.
No.
At all.
Spoilers, there's an episode coming up that easily could have been sacrificed in favor of a third versus Gary episode.
Yeah, I don't know. Listeners out there, you guys, please like let us know if you feel the same way. I think that this episode would have been better served by something like that.
It felt rushed.
It did feel rushed. It didn't have the same gravity.
And also, I think it's kind of unfair because I remember watching this as a kid and thinking like, wow, this is like the craziest stuff they've ever done in a Pokemon battle up to this point. But looking at it now and after, like, they've had so many animation improvements and things get a lot more dynamic and interesting in later seasons, looking back on this now, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I definitely concur. Honestly, watching this, I'm kind of like, where's the seriousness? Like, where's the gravity? Where's the weight? Where's the... Not that Pokemon was ever like a nail biter where you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But like, I wish there was more moments where it felt more tense and like, oh my gosh, Ash is really in trouble here. Like, he's got to do something. But it didn't feel that way kind of at all.
Which is funny because like, he is in trouble. He needs to do something. Like, the, yeah. It's kind of... It's already there. It's already there for them to work from, but they're not doing anything with it.
Ash himself doesn't actually have a lot of moments where he seems really nervous. Like, I thought, again, like you mentioned, I thought he was going to have moments where he was really in his own head, agonizing over, like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of breaking, you know, like breaking down, like panicking, and then finally getting back into his groove of, like, okay, wait, I got to chill out. I got to reevaluate. And then having his, like, complete 180 where he's like, I can do this. So anyway, back to it. We have this moment where Ash kind of does have like a strategy where he's like, okay, this isn't working. I can't just take Blastoise on head on. So I have to have Charizard do something kind of unique. So he has Charizard flamethrower the field.
That was cool. This was cool. This was very good, Ash.
Yeah, this was the one moment where I was like, wow, okay, that's a cool strategy.
Because it's neat. It's neat because Gary traps him.
Yeah.
Ash has no choice but to retreat from Blastoise, who has the overwhelming type advantage. And Blastoise is blasting Hydro Pumps into the air to not allow Charizard to come back in. Mm-hmm. So Ash has to instantly come up with an entire crazy scenario that requires Gary to fall into his trap. And I really like that.
Yes, I agree in one way. Like, I think, okay, for the moment, like, Ash is trying to think on his feet and say, okay, how can I distract from what's happening so I can get Charizard close enough to Blastoise to get some kind of hit in whatever it is. However, he thought one step ahead, but he didn't necessarily think ahead 2 steps because, so he has Charizard heat the battlefield, kind of make all the rocks around Blastoise molten, which is really cool. But Blastoise is a water type. So you can easily cool off all those molten rocks.
But I think that was the plan all along.
You mean to divert the water onto doing that versus shooting at Charizard?
It's two-pronged. First, it distracts Blastoise from shooting at Charizard from a distance. So It has to turn its focus onto the field around it and cool it down. Then when it does that, it creates a steam effect that allows Charizard to come back in because it's not being assaulted. There's no more barrier to entry. And it can swoop in unnoticed. And the steam dissipates, and Charizard has Blastoise in a headlock, basically. They're fist-to-fist, staring in each other's eyes. And that also works, because Gary notes the Hydro Cannons, they can't shoot at Charizard when it's right in front of it. because the cannons face a different direction from Blastoise.
That's a good point. Okay.
I think this was all according to Keikaku.
Okay. Okay. You make it. Okay. You've convinced me. Yeah.
Because I think Ash is playing some 4D chess right here.
All right. I concur. I concede the point to Ash having a better strategy than I initially thought. Because now that you've mentioned that, I remember them saying that where Blastoise's cannons kind of are tilted out a little bit. They're not, they can't necessarily hit right in front of it, like go straight forward. So they're kind of like off to the side. So Charizard being like right directly in front of Blastoise, it was ingenious. Meanwhile, Charizard has the freedom to kind of bite or flamethrower right directly into Blastoise's face. So we have a tense face-off where they get locked into that hand-to-hand combat, and Ash is able to try Charizard's seismic toss once again. This time, it works. He's able to grab Blastoise because he's not nearly as heavy as Golem. And
you know Ash wins because there's a climactic montage of all the characters gasping.
Sorry, I'm just trying to remember that we didn't talk about how he took out Golem.
Oh,
how did he take out that? Golem? I don't remember.
Oh, he used Dragon Rage.
It took me a minute because I was like, wait, I don't think we talked about that. Okay, yeah, Golem was taken out by a Dragon Rage. Sorry, guys. Don't mean to confuse. So yeah, the gasps from the crowd after the dust has settled, Charizard and Blastoise are looking at each other, and it's kind of one of those like old-timey Western standoffs where it's like, who got shot? Who's going to fall first? And then a tumbleweed goes by or something. Blastoise can't take it anymore, falls to the ground defeated, and Ash realizes that, oh my gosh, I don't think he can believe it at first that he won. And Gary is just like, whatever, shrugs his shoulders and walks off. No big thing. Later that night, Gary calls Ash out to their romantic meeting spot at the lake, where he returns the red half of the rusty pokeball from their fishing competition from long ago. And they share a really nice touching moment where Gary is not antagonistic towards Ash. He respects Ash. They shake hands. And I think they really kind of tied the knot on their rivalry, right? I mean, they're sort of done with that kind of thing.
Yep, we're done.
No more Ash and Gary. I think Gary, this is the turning point. Like, I think Gary just doesn't really
care.
He
doesn't care that he lost. He's like,
no,
I genuinely do not care.
Well, I think he's kind of gone beyond that. He's grown beyond that. He's realized, like this, I've done all I can do as a trainer. I was finally bested by my rival. There's nowhere else for me to go. So I need to look forward to whatever the next thing is.
And he already knows what the next thing is. He already has an idea. Yeah,
which we will see later. That's a really nice conclusion to the Gary Ash rivalry, long awaited. The next day, Ash is facing off against the next contender, which is Harrison. We get Pikachu versus Kecleon. Ash seems very shocked to see a Kecleon. He has no idea what the fuck a Kecleon is.
He also forgot the Kecleon episode.
We've seen Kecleon, guys. If you don't remember, we had a whole hot air balloon, or not hot air balloon, a blimp episode with Kecleon. Two Kecleons, actually. So we'll see what happens with that, which I think we have a good idea. But what we don't know is how Ash gets there.
Okay, fair enough.
To that part. So, all right. I think I talked enough about that.
Well, you left one thing out.
What did I forget?
Team Rocket.
Oh my god, I did forget them. Oh, I'm sorry.
See, Pogo Megastar agrees with us. We could do without Team Rocket in these episodes.
I mean, Delibird was there.
Right. This is the last time we see Delibird.
Which we kind of forgot to keep track of how often Delibird was appearing. Sorry,
I think they forgot about Delibird, or they just didn't have anything to do with Delibird. So it is a kind of weird continuity glitch where we cut immediately to Delibird taking their money. And Jesse's like, don't take all our money. But then Meow says, oh, well, with the amount of money we're making, we're going to be able to pay off our debt to Giovanni anyway. So Jesse thoughtlessly lets go of Delibird. And then we never see Delibird coming back for them and their money ever again.
So they paid their debt.
So clearly it must happen off screen at some point. That little storyline had such a strong beginning and it totally petered out.
Just like everything else.
Yeah. Well, GS Ball.
Actually, I felt sorry for Team Rocket in a sense because they actually were making money in a legitimate way and they would seem to be doing pretty well.
That's the only way they ever make money is a legitimate way.
I know. I'm like, guys, this is your calling. You just need to stay the course and forget about Ash and just continue to do your own thing. But sadly, the allure of Ash is too hard to ignore. All right, so let's do our MVP, LVP, and quote.
Tails.
I am going to give my MVP to, let's all try to guess,
Professor Oak.
Very close, but not quite. Snorlax, of course.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gary.
Oh, well, it was
you
hard.
You didn't give it to Gary for either of these episodes, by the way.
Okay, you know what? Forget
no,
it.
No, no, no. You got to stick with Snorlax. I'm not
going to No, that's your... not true. That's not true. We could change our options.
No, 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 no. I'm just saying I don't want to influence you so much.
But now I'm thinking about it. This is really hard, you guys. I love Snorlax and I love Gary. Okay, you know what? My selfish MVP is going to be Snorlax because I love it. But my true MVP is going to be Gary because Gary has grown so much as a person. He has realized that his time as a headstrong trainer who's only out there to one-up Ash is done. He's realized his true calling. He graciously accepts defeat and acknowledges Ash's growth. Whether or not it was deserved during this particular battle, I don't know. I'm not going to speak to that. But Gary was really nice at the end, and I really appreciate the like personal growth that he's gone through. So
Gary's going on the chart or Snorlax?
Gary. Let's do Gary. I love you, Snorlax. You're MVP in my heart, but Gary for the true list. My LVP is going to be... I'm going to give it to the announcer, actually.
Oh.
For two reasons. One, because when Muck first came out, he wasn't very confident in Muck at all. He's like, oh, Muck, what's Muck going to do? Or whatever. I thought that was rude. And then the second reason is because when Ash started using his flamethrower, the battlefield strategy, the announcer comes on and says, what kind of crazy, what a novel and unique strategy.
Is that your quote?
And that's also my quote.
Yay! So. That was the best quote.
It was.
I could not get a funny quote. So instead, I'm going to go with an emotional quote.
Emotional. I love an emotional quote.
Delia says, Gary was always the confident one, taking the lead, with Ash right behind, struggling to keep up with him. Oak says, he may not admit it, but I think Gary considers Ash to be his most important friend of all. And Delia says, I think Ash feels the same way.
Oh, that was sweet.
That seemed very Alex-coded. I don't know.
I'm surprised I didn't use that one for me.
Me too. I kind of want to give MVP to Snorlax because I feel bad about changing your mind, but I'm going to give it to Pikachu.
Oh, okay.
Because Pikachu wanted to be in that battle, and he was like, put me in there. Tag me in, coach. I'm in. And I thought that was a cute moment of personality for him. And my LVP, I'm going to give it to Ash.
Wow. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. What? Excuse me?
Oh, I mean, I could change your mind. But
no,
for right now,
don't. I'm so intrigued.
Because Ash did not show a range of emotions like he should have. He was very subdued the whole time, and we weren't in his head at all. We didn't feel any sort of anything coming from him at all. He was like an automaton the whole episode.
He was a robot. I don't know what was going on. You would think that Ash being like having this whole flashback of the pivotal moment in his life, apparently at the stream with the Pokeball. Like, this
the one
rivalry
that we've known about this whole time and always refer back to.
Exactly. The very old and tried and true story. Why wasn't he more emotional about facing off against Gary like this?
Not a shred of human emotion at all. And that's it.
All right, guys.
Unless you can come up with another LVP for me to do.
No, I don't want to influence you at all.
Why influence you all the time?
That's the name of the game. We got to bounce ideas off of each other and have the discussion, right? So I'm curious what you guys thought. Listeners, did you feel the same way we did about this battle? Were you expecting more emotion from Ash, at least? Or did you think that it was an appropriate amount of feeling and you liked the battle? I don't know. I'm curious to see what people thought.
The music was really carrying in this episode.
Which one specifically?
Mostly the victory music.
The Pokemon music makes me feel things. Like, it's so good. Love a Pokemon soundtrack. I look forward to seeing what tracks you pick out for this episode, Austin.
Oh, I already have the entire league picked out.
Austin has a spreadsheet, guys.
I do have a spreadsheet. And it may be a little repetitive, but I was going for thematics over variety.
That's fine with me. Okay. You got to pick thematics. You got to have a good impact.
I'm sure no one sits and thinks, oh, why did Austin use that track? Oh, why did he use that in this place? But I think about it, okay, y'all?
Maybe, guys, just think about it a little more because Austin puts so much thought into this. Like, he actually, like, really agonizes over it sometimes.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the attention to detail, Austin. It always makes a difference. Any other thoughts that you have on these two?
No, just I'm disappointed that the Ash and Gary battle was not as cool as I thought it was when I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Well, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. But it also makes sense because the Ash and Gary rivalry was never well written or at the forefront of anything. So it kind of makes sense.
I mean, I guess there is that feeling of a little bit of like anticlimacticness. Like you're just like, oh.
We have been spoiled by later iterations. We truly have.
It really is more apparent now than ever before. Like as we're going back and watching these episodes, I guess our memory, it's a little fuzzy. You don't remember exactly everything. And you're thinking, oh, that was way more impactful than it actually was. Like, I'm just really excited to get to, like, the Drew and the Harley and the Paul. I know that's, like, way later, but, like, that kind of rivalry, there's a lot more emotional weight behind that.
My big one is still the Dragonite at the Dragon Holy Land setting everything on fire, and then it's remorse at that. I thought that was so much more better than it really was. I'm so disappointed by that.
The thing that went nowhere whatsoever.
Yeah, I thought it was a way bigger deal than it actually was. Oh, well.
It's kind of, but see, that's like one of the fun things about going back through these now as adults, like in the present time, like what you remembered being impactful versus like, oh, that wasn't actually as thrilling as I remember that. Like, what? Okay, I thought there was more. Like, for me, the Larvitar arc that we just went through, like, I remember that being way more emotional, and then it turns out like, oh, bye Larvitar, I guess we're not even gonna like say farewell, like that's really
I'll defend the unknown episode though. That was really good.
That was really good. I did like that. Pokemon's one of those things where it's like you don't ever really expect a ton out of it, so I guess when you do get those pivotal moments, you're like, wow, okay, that's great. Like, not to belabor
expectations,
not to belabor the point of talking about this, but like, we off podcast, we were talking about your recent watch through of Journeys and how good Distant Blue Sky was.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch that episode?
No.
Why?
I really want to do is sit down and do a marathon of I Choose You, Power of Us, Secrets of the Jungle, and Distant Blue Sky, and watch it all in a pretty rapid succession and see how that flows.
Okay.
So I didn't include that in my Journeys rewatch.
But we did talk about Distant Blue Sky.
We did talk about that, yeah.
I'm trying to remember outside of that episode if any Pokemon episode has ever made me, like, emotional.
Mallow.
Oh, the Mallow episode in Sun and Moon. Yeah, that one was really hard. Losing a parent, definitely. That one hit me hard because I've lost a parent, so yeah, that one was rough. All that to say, the Gary-Ash rivalry conclusion has happened. It was less impactful than I remember it being, so...
Typical. I hope the Harrison fight's good.
I don't remember the Harrison fight at all.
I barely remember it. We'll find out next week.
We will find out next week, guys, which is why you should tune in. So, aside from that one, what are the episodes for next week?
The episodes are Playing with Fire and Johto Photo Finish.
Johto Photo Finish. Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to get into like the weeds a little bit here. So I talked about how Tie One On in the Ties That Bind. You would think those would be related. They're not.
Yeah.
That's Versus Jackson and Versus Gary Part 1.
Sure.
And then the next two episodes are Can't Beat the Heat and Playing with Fire. So you think those two would be related, but they're not. Because that's Gary Part 2 and Harrison Part 1. So that really threw me off when I was scheduling, but okay.
Right? I mean, maybe somebody thought they were being clever with like two consecutive sort of related titles, but like
tie titles,
whatever. Is Johto Photo Finish is fucking Todd Snap coming back or what?
I wish.
You wish? Oh, okay.
What if he was the ultimate competitor that Ash had to defeat?
The true evil that he has to defeat to leave Johto? Okay.
He has the Mew from the N64 game with him.
That would be a twist.
Oh, man.
Sadly, it's not that exciting, I'm guessing.
Well, nothing can be as exciting as Todd Snap. That's the most exciting of all.
That is true. What am I even thinking?
The first time we met Todd Snap, Ash thought there was a sniper trying to kill them.
I completely forgot about that, where he thought there was like a gun barrel poking out of the tall grass. Oh my gosh. I love the unhinged moments. Okay, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed those two episodes as much as we did. Let us know your thoughts. You can always do that by getting in touch with us in our Gmail account. That's one way. You can reach out to us there, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. What are you laughing at? You're laughing at me. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on your platform of choice, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you'd like to leave comments. We really appreciate it. Give us 5 stars. Rate us highly.
Please, please.
Please do. If you enjoy us, please give us a like, give us a rating. We would appreciate that. 5 stars. If you want to check us out on our social media, we have a Blue Sky. Austin posts some really funny stuff over there, so you can check us out. Our handle is @OutOfTheDryingPan. We also have an Instagram, same handle, @OutOfTheDryingPan. So follow us over there. And if you like what we do, want to support us, you can always do that on Patreon. We would definitely be happy to read out any fan fictions that you guys have written. Or you can take advantage of any of other our bonus tiers that we have available. So we would really appreciate it. You can find the link to our Patreon in the description. And as always, we'd like to say thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to catch you next week as the journey continues.